You haven't even read that?
Wait, what are you doing with the book?
So he has the confidence to finish the story.
Hear now the words of the witches.
This is Kevin, and welcome to Words of the Witches, the Charmed podcast that will guide you through the lesser-known published material in the Charmed universe and decide how it fits into the grand narrative of the TV series. Okay, we're here with episode 3 for The Crimson Spell. Before we get started with all of that book stuff, we have some Charmed news. There is the German Blu-ray that was announced, and it's going to be a Blu-ray of the full series, and it is going to include the making of featurettes, the interviews, the unaired pilot episode, commentary on 3 episodes, and then you can either get a crystal pendant or a kit collar. So that's pretty cool. Oh, and some stickers and character cards and a map of San Francisco. So there's a lot in there. All of the season 8 features plus some extras, which is cool. And then I'm going to... Should I introduce the guest first before I get to the rest? Okay, I'll introduce you. You're here. Yeah. You might as well. this is Kyle.
Hi, I'm Kyle Beasley.
Yeah, so this is going to be fun because I'm going to learn a little bit about you and all that stuff. We're going to summarize the book.
Yeah.
I wanted to read a review we got. It is pretty early on in the podcasting world of this show, but so I haven't asked for reviews yet, but we did get one from a friend. It's very short, but very very good to have
definitely.
Anyway. It's a 5-star review, and it says, "Charmed again, Grams." At first, I didn't get why that was in the title, but I'm thinking because he's picturing it the way that Graham said it in Charmed Again. He's like, she's like, "Charmed again." So I'm like, okay, I get you. It says, "An absolute must for Charmed fans hosted by the supreme fan of the Hallowell line." And that's by Bacchus Stylist, my friend Travis. So thank you for that. So if you still like the show, if you're enjoying what we're doing so far, please leave us a review if you can. iTunes is great. You can also go to Podcaster if that's good for you. Something, leave an audio message at Anchor. So we have all those things. Tell me a little bit about you, Kyle.
Like you mentioned, I'm Kyle. I am from St. Louis. I am a huge nerd, so I love comic books. I love like Power Rangers, Super Sentai stuff. Charmed was always a big thing for me, and I was actually going through old school things. My parents are moving, and I totally forgot I did this. I did an oral report in my communications class in high school on Charmed, and it just kind of like all of this came flooding back, and I was like, oh my god, I forgot how obsessed I was years ago. Like, my god, what is that now? 15 years ago? Longer than that. So like, it's you know, I love Charmed. It's very close and dear to my heart. That's just kind of me. I'm just I'm a barista and I'm just living life and, you know, yeah.
Doing the good stuff.
Oh yeah,
fighting the good fight.
Oh yeah.
When I was in school, all of my school projects were Charmed related. That's just like, every art project, every little. I had a computer class. I made a Charmed pamphlet, like just to promote the show, and it was crazy. You know, the obsession started real young.
That's so cool.
So, how did you discover the show?
I actually didn't start watching until the very end of season 3, beginning of season 4. So I missed all of Prue, essentially. Spoilers. So I picked it up towards the end of season 3, and it was the last 2 episodes. And that the season finale, I was like, why have I not been watching this show? I need to start watching. So, and then I got introduced to Paige, and I love Paige. And so that was like kind of where I started. And then I went back and I started buying the seasons on DVD and buying the books and reading the books. And And then it was on TNT for a while.
Yeah, a lot.
In the morning I would watch it like before school, or if I came home and they'd play the episodes at like 4 or 5 at night, and I'd watch them then. So I definitely surrounded myself with it. But I didn't come in until a little bit late, but
3 and 4 where it's like prime years. Yeah. Like that's when it's like the best, I think. So sure. That's good. And yeah, you said spoiler. I didn't mention this in the other episodes, but this is considered a spoiler show just because we have the freedom to talk about anything that happened in the entire run of the series. So if you haven't watched the show, you know, you're going to be spoiled. this is a show for anybody who wants more stories, who wants to see these books. If you like to read, if you don't like to read, if you can't have access to these books, that's what we're here for, just to educate on the Charmed world in general. So, cool, cool. We're going to do our...
Which word of the day?
You want to do yours first?
Yeah, because it seemed pretty... relevant to this book. It's kind of a lame one, but I thought athame, which I never really thought about until Charmed presented it to me. But the word athame, the knife, the dagger, that just kind of stuck out to me.
Same. Yeah, it's like athame. It's a ceremonial knife used by lots of different crazy people. That was a quote from The Honeymoon's Over, season 3, episode 1. just saying. My word is Darkhold. Oh. Do you know what that's from?
That is... Do they have a Darkhold? I know it's the Marvel Darkhold.
So you can choose any fandom anywhere. It could be real life witch words and actual practices of Wicca. It could be anything in any medium. So that's what these were. We're kind of learning as we go, but I chose Darkhold.
It's a good word. It's really relevant right now.
Relevant. It's a book of sins, you know, a magic book from WandaVision, but it's also just in the comic books in general. It's used mm-hmm. quite a bit. So I thought that would be perfect for the theme.
Yeah.
Oh, and I wanted, because you mentioned Super Sentai Power Rangers, do you know any of the actors from Power Rangers that were in Charmed?
You know, I cannot off the top of my head, but I've started rewatching them all because I haven't seen them in, 12 years. yeah. And I'm shocked at some of the people I'm seeing pop up, and I totally forgot we're in this. But who all has been in
it? I can think of two off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's more. There's Melody Perkins.
Oh, my God.
Our astronomer, Caron. Yeah. She was Margot in The Power of Three Blondes, which I just did that episode for my other show, Hanging with the Hallowells. And so she is a Power Rangers alum.
Yes.
I met her at some of the Power Ranger conventions, so she's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
There's also Michael Mays, who played Psycho Black.
Mm.
And I met him at the last, Ranger Stop, I believe? And he was in a season 7 episode as a Celerity Demon. Kind of a... not a very he didn't I don't know if he had lines or anything, but he was like one of the side Celerity Demons.
I'm gonna have to keep an eye out when I watch that.
so fun stuff. Little bit of a crossover like there. All right, so when we do the summary, did you want to go like take turns going over it, or did you want to just like make comments over the summary that I
We can just make comments. I just took little notes here, so I mean if you just want to kind of run with it and then I can just
okay sure come jump in yeah. when you feel yeah. the moment strikes. Okay, cool. All right, so the book is The Crimson Spell. It has Piper in the forefront, Prue and Phoebe in the background, so you know it's a Piper-centric kind of book. Mm-hmm. It has some lightning flashing, and it has the manor in the back with a glowing red coming out of all the windows.
Very
and doors.
Intense.
It says, "Beware the color of evil." Oh. And the back says, "Evil thoughts and dark desires boil and burn in a Wiccan brew. Throw hate and fear into the fire. May friends and lovers both be true. Prue, Piper, and Phoebe don't know that a coven of warlocks is hunting them. They don't know that one of the warlocks has entered their lives disguised as a friend. And they don't know the coven's mission, to drain them of their magical powers, even if it means destroying them to do it. Now the Charmed Ones must figure out which of their friends is really their enemy, because sometimes what you don't know can kill you."
Dun, dun, dun.
Always, that's they make these books so like
so intense, yes,
intrigue. And I always kind of liked the little spells they have on the like the little rhyme they have on the back of the books, because a lot of times they don't even appear in the book. It's just like a promotional spell or whatever it is. It was written by F. Goldsboro, published April 1st, 2000, and it's supposed to take place between season 2, episode 4, The Devil's Music, and season 2, episode 9, Miss Hellfire, because that's when, after P3 has been established, it's got his big break, but before Prue has astral projection. Mm-hmm. So, and I always thought, because this is a season 1 cover, like the pictures are from season 1, I always thought that the cover art meant that that's the season it took place in, back when I was reading these, when I was like 13. but I guess that's not the case necessarily.
You just gotta have a bigger knowledge of what's going on.
Right. Okay, so it starts with a prologue. We have a master of this warlock coven. It's called the Coven of New Sun, and they're doing all these magical spell ritual things, whatever. They bring in this witch, and he offers to join us, type of thing. Join us, evil dead. And then she's like, never. And so they bring her to like under this crystal, and the light of this crystal like burns her, like she like bubbles and melts and this is destroyed. It's pretty graphic.
Yeah. I was shocked at how like graphic. Yeah. I was like, I don't think this is a little more graphic than the show usually is.
They get away with a lot more in these books for sure. Yeah. She's like having boils and sores and like she's bubbling and as you can see bone, and it's like, oh my goodness gracious. But I guess it like absorbed her power and her life essence or whatever. And then Adrienne, and she helps initiate, this is like a member of the coven, this girl named Adrienne, and she helps initiate this Kenji Yamada guy into the coven. They're like, welcome, you will be one of us now. Ha, 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 ha. And then the master warlock tells the coven that these sisters are like really good. They're going to find us. We better eliminate them before they find us. And that's mission to just like destroy these sisters, which are the charmed ones, which we know.
That scene in particular was just like super intense. But other than that, I feel like it's your basic like setup. Like there's a coven war of warlocks, and we're going to go after the charmed ones. Like basic setup for this.
Yeah, there's your premise, then you get your opening credits, and like all that stuff. I am the sun, I am the air. Okay.
Unless you're watching the newer release versions that don't have the song.
Oh, yeah. Right. So unfortunate. Yeah, get the DVDs and watch it with the song, because then you get the DVD. You get the song on all of the episodes except for season 8, but otherwise, it's there. Chapter 1, we have Piper. It's 1 a.m. and she's at P3.
Yeah.
It's just closing. It's a mess. Bottles everywhere. And she's forced to clean by herself because apparently nobody's around. Like somebody called off sick and she's like, I'm going to clean by myself. Great. But apparently Prue and Phoebe come over because they can't sleep. So like, what else are we going to do? We're just going to go see Piper. And Phoebe says she's taking karate. She's taking this new karate class, which is strange because if this is supposed to take place in season 2, she's already started taking self-defense classes in season 1, which proves it anyway. So that's a little off there. I'm like, maybe she's taking another class, but it's like supposed to be this college class. And so it's like right before she starts actual college in season 2, mm-hmm. but after she took the self-defense class. It's just kind of a weird period in time for her to be taking that, but sure.
I thought so too. I was like, this seems a little out of place, but you know, well, I'll go with it. I'll bite. We'll see where this leads.
Prue says she bought a dagger from a Wicca shop for Buckland's, and then she made friends with the clerk, Adrienne, which we not saw her in the previous prologue. Like, oh my goodness. I did think it was weird because she insinuates that she thought Wicca practitioners were freaks. And then when she got her powers, she thought that everybody, all those people were wannabes. I'm like, that's kind of insulting. And then Piper says she signed up to mentor a troubled teen. And Prue and Phoebe disapprove. They're like, what? You can't do that. We're too busy. You can't have anybody come into our house. Better not take them to the manor. And so they're not really happy with the idea. And then while they're cleaning, Prue uses her powers to throw some empty bottles into the recycling bin. Sure.
Yeah, of course.
And then Piper has a sense that they are being watched.
I was, I, Yeah, I kind of found, I guess I'm thinking more of maybe Phoebe from her empath days. I feel like Piper as a mentor just felt a little, it felt more like Phoebe's territory to me. I thought it was an interesting storyline, yeah. But I was like, that almost feels more like it could be a Phoebe thing than a Piper thing.
I mean, she had the empathy power, so it makes sense for why she got it, because in the earlier seasons, she was very in touch with people. She really kind of felt with people on an emotional level. She was very interested in helping people become their better selves and stuff like that. So it did definitely feel like a Phoebe thing, because Piper was usually the scared one. She was not going to be the one to take a risk. Yeah. She wanted her security and she wanted what she knew. So it was a different kind of take for her in this.
Which I like. I mean, I guess it's kind of, you have to have a story somewhere. So you gotta do it. I was nice. I love that this is like the beginning of P3, which was always, I know that like the WB, CW loves to put like bands and music and everything, but it makes me so happy every time. It doesn't matter if it's Gilmore Girls or Dawson's Creek or this, or, you know, whenever they bring in like real life music acts, I'm like, this is the coolest thing.
Piper drops Phoebe off at her karate class, and they say that Phoebe's car refused to start. Another thing that red flag that went off, because Phoebe did not get a car until season 5, A Witch's Tale. That's when she first had her car.
Oh my god, it was that late? I didn't realize it was that late.
That late. She got her Mini Cooper. But yeah, she didn't have a car before that. Sometimes she drove Prue's car and crashed it. Sometimes, most of the time she just rode with people. Yeah. So it makes sense that Piper was driving her this time, but Phoebe would have not had that car. Phoebe goes to her karate class and she starts crushing on this new guy named Kenji in her class, which we know from the prologue. God. Oh my gosh, all these people are invading their lives.
I've got bad feelings.
I know. Oof. But they work on these fight combinations and she's like trying to stick with it. She's like, I'm learning some stuff. After class, Phoebe and Kenji get some tea. Kenji tells Phoebe that he's going to be in a martial arts tournament and Phoebe has a vision of him winning second place. And she's like, oh, you'll probably get second place at least. He's like, oh, never mind. It's like, pretend I didn't say that. I just have a feeling that you know you're so good and muscular and beautiful and you're gonna do
She's
so well.
Very thirsty in this episode chapter.
I know. I was like,
oh my, calm down, rein it in.
Of course, Phoebe has always been like that. She's always been that lusty one. Even more enhanced her sin when she got the sin box. But it was something there to begin with. So that's, you know. Kenji flirts back and he inquires that he wants to learn more about Phoebe. Chapter 3, Piper goes to the Sunrise Center. That's where she signed up to be a mentor. Sunrise Center, keep that in mind. Mr. Morgan is the coordinator, and he calms her fears and says, you'll be fine. Just all you'll need is 2 hours a week to hang out with these kids, and you can help them kind of, you know, find some love and, you know, find some stability in their life, just like you like. He introduces her to Celeste. She's like this redhead teenage girl when she's like 13, I think so. And Celeste was in a foster system. Then she ran and got some, like, busted for something. You know, she must have been in trouble with the law a little bit. And Celeste is kind of talking to Piper, but a little bit of abrasive in certain ways. And she's just like, I'm not sure I like you. Maybe I will. But then she's like, my friend Daria doesn't get a mentor. She really wanted one more than me, but she didn't get one. So she's really pouty in her room. And Piper's like, oh, well, why don't I mentor you both? Because, and you know, I'm going to try to get on your good side and I'll mentor you both. And she's like, really? Yay! And then she gets excited.
It's definitely a huge leap from mentoring one person to taking on a whole nother kid.
Yeah, it is. It's, I mean, one is, I mean, I worked as a day camp counselor for a summer once.
Oh, cool.
And it was really nice. I had about 13 4-year-olds that I was in charge of every day. And it was hard work. There were some days I wanted to pull my hair out and I probably got pink eye and colds all the time. But it was nice. I'm glad I survived, but it's not something I would choose to do again. Then we have Prue. She goes to her Wicca shop. It's called Full Moon, which I don't know. I like it, but also sounds a little dirty to me.
A little bit.
That's just where my mind goes. I can't help it. Adrienne insists that she is a white magic shop, but acknowledges the balance of yin and yang, which I thought that was really cool that they brought into the light. Darkness and light cannot exist mm-hmm. without the other. It's very common, but it's nice that they explored it a little bit in this book because it's always true yes. and valid. Then this business, oh, this is a pretty funny scene. This businessman comes into the shop. He's looking for ingredients for a love spell. And the Prue and Adrienne, they make up all these lies about past love spells. Like, are you sure you want to do that? You know, I had all these bad experiences when I tried a love spell. You know, one time I was like, someone cast a spell on me that our love would rise. And then I started levitating for a long, long time. She's like, what? And then Prue's just thinking about, like, she's like, yeah, I almost committed suicide. Like, what?
Yeah, that was a little much. That was the suicide joke. I was like, damn, girl.
I'm like, oh, wow, you're really laying on thick. And I think Adrienne comments, she's like, really? You're going to suicide? And like, oh, my goodness. He's like, well, he's not prepared for any kind of love spell, so I'm just scaring him really bad. As Prue checks out, Adrienne accidentally gave her hemlock instead of ash powder. Or did she? Yeah, Prue comes back. She's like, you gave me this. She's like, oh, did I? I'm sorry. I will fix that for you. Like, oh, what are you doing, Adrienne? Are you really on my side? I don't know.
I will say, she starts out by saying blessed be, which I know is like a thing, a very like Wiccan type thing. But after watching Handmaid's mm-hmm. Tale, if somebody greeted me with blessed be, I'd be like, I don't trust you. I don't.
I watched a trailer for that and I'm like, I'm kind of scared to watch this. Intense. I don't know if it's, yeah, I can imagine. I'm just making my heart racing every day watching that show. So maybe eventually
it's a good rabbit hole to fall down, but it'll mess okay. with your head quite a bit.
Piper takes Celeste and Daria, now that she has the two kids, she takes them to P3, where the girls like jam out on stage for a little bit. They're like, yeah, we like to sing. We're jamming out. This is cool. I love this where the band plays, all that stuff. And the plan was for them to cook like a nice meal at P3 and teach them some cooking skills because Celeste apparently likes to cook. And then Piper goes to the fridge in the back and she notices that it is not working. It's something is wrong with the refrigerator. So she calls the repair people. They say it's going to take like 4 hours to get there. She's like, oh my gosh. So then she's like, well, I got all this ice cream and stuff in the freezer. I better take this up and we'll go to the manor.
The thing that she was like, I won't bring them home. Now she's doing
Yeah, that. I'm not going to bring them home. Mm-hmm. Great. So yeah, she comes in there and she's like, I hope for Phoebe are gone still. Maybe they won't be home. We can just get our stuff done and get out before they get home. So then she takes them in. They Celeste helps in the kitchen. They started to get their they eat some ice cream first. Like, she's like, are you liking your ice cream? And Celeste is all about the cooking. She's helping, but Daria is like going all around. She's like, oh, who are these people in these pictures? What is this? What is that? Like, okay, girl, you need to calm down.
Nosy.
Right. And then she asks, she's like, what's in that room? She points to the attic. What's in that room? And Piper freaks out. She's like, no, it's not going there. And Daria gets all, like, her panties in a bunch. She's, like, all offended. She's like, fine, I guess you don't like people coming into your house. Like, like, oh, my God.
Very, very much an overreaction.
Yeah, I mean, I get, like, these are maybe, like, damaged children. Mm-hmm. And they might have some issues, you know, because who knows their health and foster care and all that stuff. And I get they might have some of that, but it's still a little presumptuous to just assume that you can roam everywhere in someone's house for the first time meeting them.
For sure. I mean, looking in the medicine cabinet when you go to someone's place for the first time is one thing. Trying to like get up in the attic, and that's a whole nother thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Piper, like, because she thought that she might have got in there. She's like, oh, gosh. Okay, no, she didn't, but there's that whole freak out moment. And then as you know, Piper's telling her to come down, she sees Prue at the bottom of the stairs. She's like, oh, who's your friend? And Phoebe comes home shortly after that, and they're all like, who are these children? Who brought children to this house? And they're a little upset. And so they're talking in private. It's like, you need to, you know, get them out. And then Daria is like hearing them talk, and she gives them the death stare. And she's like, if you don't want me here, fine. I'm going to go find someplace where I can be appreciated. Yeah, she definitely, she has some issues. I don't know what they are, but she's, I feel like she's definitely overreacting.
For sure.
Piper goes to look for Daria with Celeste. She takes Celeste to get in the car. And she's like, where do you think Daria is? We got to find her. Eventually, they're like, why don't we just call the Sunrise Center? She may have gone back there. And Piper's like, oh, duh, okay. And so they call her. So Celeste talks to Daria, and she's just still really pissy. So whatever. And then they just take Celeste home, and they'll deal with it later. Phoebe goes to Kenji's tournament. She got out of whatever she had to do with Prue, and she goes to Kenji's tournament anyway. And he got second place. He's like fighting all these guys. La 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 la. He went all the way to the top, and then on his last fight, he lost to some big bodybuilder guy. But it's exactly what her premonition predicted. So it's like, oh my gosh. And he's like, hey, I got second place, just like you said. She's like, I know, isn't that funny?
What are the chances?
I know, crazy, right? And then they meet afterward the competition, and they finally kissed. It's this beautiful, blossomy romance. The Coven Master is angry. He's like, why aren't my minions taking care of these charmed ones yet? We don't even know what their powers are. What's happening? So you guys suck. So he reprimands his little coven members. He pulls out some satin ribbon with knots, and he like sprinkles like blood on them and stuff. Adrian and Kenji declare their loyalty and reveal their plans to get close to their respective sisters and destroy them. Typical.
Oh yeah.
Demon stuff, warlock stuff. Phoebe comes to Piper at P3 and discusses her feelings for Kenji. She's like, I met somebody. I think I really like him. And Piper's like, cool, good for you. That's just fine. And, and then she sees Celeste watching them through the window. Like, where I'm trying to think of where these people are. Where is P3 where it's all these right? windows?
It's a pretty closed off space, I feel like.
Yeah, because I know they come down the stairs and they're in the big room. You have the bar, you have the stage. There's the whole kitchen, and there is like a back alley for P3, but I can't even picture where someone would look into them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's like little, like how basements sometimes have those windows up top. I know that it's not like,
oh yeah,
but it feels like it has a very subterranean kind of feel to it. So like, I don't know where these windows are. I can't think of any scene in which I can recall windows.
So I was like, okay. But people keep looking in at P3 apparently. And that's the way that this book goes. Piper calls Celeste in, and she says that Darla is acting weird. And she is talking about calling the darkness. So she's like really getting into it real quick. They go back to the Sunrise Center, and they go into the bedroom that Celeste and Daria share, because they have a bedroom together. And she's like, whatever. And then Piper freezes Celeste and searches the room, because she doesn't want Celeste to see her being a nosy person. But she starts searching the room, and she finds these black magic tools in a drawer, like all these like magical things. And then she finds an address. Oh, something that's interesting about this scene is she started to feel when her freezer was wearing off.
Yeah.
So, and that's not something that usually happens. Usually it's just an instant thing. It just stops. I mean, it goes back to normal, and she has no control over it. So that was a little bit different. Because that happens again later on in the book too. She's like, oh, I think my freezer's starting to wear off. Oh, I better hurry.
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah, usually it just happens. Like, either it lasts a while or it just like wears off.
Yeah. So that's something to note. Then we have Piper and Celeste. They drive to the address that they found on the paper. And it's like this really rough neighborhood.
I meant to look into that neighborhood. Yeah. I don't know anything about San Francisco. I've never been.
Me neither. I really need to.
I want to know, like, is this, at least at that time, like 1999 or whatever, was that area really bad? Like, I want to know some facts.
Yeah, because I don't remember the exact street names, but there probably are real street names, so that would be interesting to check out. Yeah, because they go into like this house that's like kind of like boarded up, and it's just like in shambles. I'm like, oh. And so let's bolt into the building. She's like, there's the address. It's right there. Let's go. I'm like, chill. Like, you don't know what's in there. This is a scary town, like scary neighborhood. I don't know. Calls Piper into the room upstairs. She's like, come on, let's go. And Piper follows her. And then when she gets into the upstairs room, Celeste is like on the floor bound in green light, and like she's like trapped, and she's about to be stabbed by this guy in a black robe. So it's like, great. So Piper freezes time, and then she recites a spell to freeze Celeste. She just came up with it on the top of her head. Like, that's crazy. And then, after she freed Celeste, she came up with another spell to bind the warlock with his own magic. So, like, she is on it. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, coming up with spells really quickly in this book, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that happens a lot in the books. But, I mean, there are times where they made up spells on the spot in the show. Mm-hmm. But it didn't come this easy. I don't know. But, yeah, they escape. Miraculously, apparently, and there we go. And then we go back to the Coven Master, upset that his warlock brother was defeated by these spells. So he takes his red ribbons, and he's like, soon there will be no match for us. We gotta take these ribbons and throw them in their bags and stuff.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, Prue met Adrienne at the shop again. Adrienne tells Prue that she thinks she might be developing telekinesis. It's like, interesting, because Adrienne knows she's a witch now. She's trying to get her to tell her what her power is. And so Adrienne, she puts this crystal in front of her, and she's going to act like she's summoning all this innate power. She's like, I'm going to move this crystal, you guess. Just watch, you know? And she's like trying, and she's just like, it's not working. It's failing badly. But Prue wants to be nice to her, so she uses her own power to move the crystal for her. She's like, look, Adrienne, you did it. Good job. Good job.
I love it, because like it's so obvious that like she's trying to fish for something, Adrienne is. Mm-hmm. And it's so unlike Prue to just like give that up. She's so guarded all the time, and so it's just really funny to like to read this and just she's not even being skeptical about it at all. Like if somebody was trying to like if I had a power and they kept wanting me to I guess join in on saying, hey, I can do this thing, I'd be like, this is a little, I feel a little suspicious about this, but.
Of all people, Prue would be the most cautious of them all. And they do mention that. It's just so weird that she's like, I finally feel like I can trust somebody. Of all places, though, at a magic shop, like that doesn't seem like her environment really at all.
I guess that's why she remains super skeptical even after this.
So then she leaves as a Wicca chef, and then she finds this red ribbon in her bag in the kitchen after she got home. And she notices a bottle that's about to smash on the floor off the counter, and she tries to use her power to fix it, but it just falls and smashes anyway. Just a little, like, it went the opposite direction, fell off, and she's like, huh, okay. Then we have Phoebe on her dinner date with Kenji. He gives her a rose with a red ribbon on it. Oh, things are being connected. I thought it was funny where she's like really aroused by Kenji's forearms.
Yeah. Which she's I like, understand. Oh, they're
so tan and muscular.
I get that.
Oh, totally.
I understand that feeling.
I'm like, you get it, girl. It's fine. But it's a funny thing to read. I'm like, oh. Like, I relate. Kenji seems like a really cool guy. Like, I do like him, and he seems like he'd be really sexy, and I totally get the appeal.
Yeah.
I like to see him on the show. Kenji seems to be really laying on the compliments thick, like just really over the top, like cheesy lines. He's like, oh, you're so beautiful. this is, yeah, very melodramatic romance.
Oh, yeah.
And then he asks Phoebe to his place for sex, pretty much. You know, they don't say it, but that's... It's like, you want to come back to my place?
Heavily implied.
Yes. But she politely declines, which is, I think, a little bit different for Phoebe. She's usually really quick to rush into things like that, but she shows some maturity. She's like, I want this to work.
Which was a nice little change of pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember she comments late. She's like, I even declined sex. She's like, this is like she tells Piper, she's like, I'm on the right track. I'm doing things good for a change. But this time the coven has determined each of the sisters' powers based on the encounters that they all had with people. The master wants to kill them. Adrienne suggests that they just steal their powers and doesn't want to kill them. She's like, why don't we just steal their powers? I don't get it. So clearly she's having a little bit of second thoughts here. Mm-hmm.
Cracks are showing in this plan.
Mm-hmm. Prue crosses the street after shopping because apparently she's shopping again.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's never at work in this.
I don't know what she's doing with all the stuff that she keeps buying, but
just something pretty to look at, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because I don't see her She's not at work in this entire book, is she? I think no. She maybe goes to Buckland's, but she's never have any scenes there.
Yeah, in the very beginning, they talk about how she has to go to work when they go to the club to help Piper clean because they couldn't sleep. They mention that she goes to work, but she's never actually at work. She's just at the Full Moon shop.
Because I know she initially went to the Full Moon to buy something for Buckland's, but I hardly think that all of these purchases are for... Maybe she's just going to see Adrienne and she has like a little girl crush on her, you know?
She's so obsessed.
Yeah. She's crossing the street after her another shopping and she's like about to get hit by this huge SUV. She's like, I don't know why. She's not watching where she's going and this SUV is going to hit her. So she's like, I'm just going to use my telekinesis and push it back a little bit so that I can get through. But instead of it going backwards, it actually starts coming forward closer to her. And a boy like pulls her out of the way just in time. He's like, ah! What's wrong with that crazy car? You almost got hit. What? And Prue's a little confused, but she has like this realization. She's like, it feels like my power was reversed. Like that's not usual.
It's so weird that her reaction is to like push the car back a little bit rather than just getting out of the way and preventing this altogether.
Exactly. And she, you know, and she's right on the street. Like, she's right and open in public. Like, that seems like a strange choice to do that.
Getting sloppy.
And they've gotten sloppy with their powers before in the show, where they're, like, just, they're using things, like, real in the open. So, yeah, sure. Then we have karate class again. Kenji gave Phoebe a face cream. And then he's like, here, I made this for you or something. I don't know.
It sounds so much weirder to hear it out loud. I didn't think it was that funny.
I know.
And then he just said it and it's hysterical. That is the weirdest thing.
It's so random. Like, what? Sure, here's this face cream. All right. And well, it's like, you want to go on another date? It's a gift for you. It's going on another date. So she's like, as Phoebe was leaving her class, she takes her face cream, she puts it on in the car, and she receives a vision of a hooded figure stabbing Kenji. She's like, oh my god, I need to go back in there, he's gonna be dead. So she runs back into the dojo, but she was attacked herself.
Twist.
And then her sensei, the teacher of the class, came to the rescue. He like starts attacking this guy, he breaks his arms. Just like smash, and then Phoebe is safe, but she is perturbed by that her premonitions was so off. She's like, this is not what happened to my premonition. What happened? But I gotta say, her teacher, he was really on it. I wanna.
He did not hold back. He was like, I'm going to kick this person's ass.
It's like, you do not mess with my students in my classroom. But we don't know what happened to that guy after that. After he broke the arm, she just kind of left. What happened to, this is like some warlike magic guy, and he's just standing there with broken arms.
That is the one thing. I was like, was this supposed to be actually Kenji attacking her? Like, what is happening? Why don't we find out about this person with a broken arm? Like, I wish, you know, we even had a scene where they were like, and then there was a person with a cast. Like, you know, give me some closure. I want to know what happened. Is he okay?
Yeah, it was strange. We used you in that plot device, and we're done with you now. We don't need you anymore. Celeste is with Piper again, and Celeste is telling Piper that Daria told Celeste that she was going to kill her in her sleep. Like, how dark is this chick?
It escalated very quickly.
So Piper is freaking out. She's like, oh my gosh, I don't feel... You shouldn't be there with her anymore. This, like, does Mr. Morgan know? Does your coordinator know? She's like, yeah, but he doesn't believe her. He's just letting her. I'm like, this is really... I'm very questioning how this place is run.
Yeah.
So Piper suggests that Celeste come stay at the manor for a while, which that's going to go over with the sisters very well.
Okay. Yeah, as soon as that was suggested, it's like, that's not going to happen. That's not going
to
work.
Yeah, so she wants to inform the coordinator, Mr. Morgan, about this, because she's like, this is serious. He needs to know what's going on with his... what do we call them?
I don't know. I guess I don't know. I feel like the word is there, and I just cannot think of it.
Yeah. Well, whoever your wards, I guess that's the closest.
I was gonna say charges, but that's a different thing in Charmed.
Yeah. So yeah, the people you're in charge of, kind of taking care of.
Yeah.
I guess. But she goes to inform him. She's looking for his business card, and she pulls out a red ribbon. No, all three of them have touched a red ribbon. Oh my goodness. And then after that, see, there's a shelf in P3 that starts to fall. And then Piper tries to freeze it, but instead she finds herself stuck in place. So she ends up freezing herself. But she is fully conscious of that she is frozen. So she's like, she can't move. She can't do anything, but she is aware of what's happening. People who read the book say that this is a inaccuracy because, you know, people are just frozen when she freezes people. What do you feel about this?
I was actually going to make a comment about that. I feel like maybe she is an exception because it's her own power. Because usually, yeah, like whenever she freezes somebody in the show, like they're frozen. They don't know what happened. And it's just like they blip in 1 second. You know, if anybody's in a weird spot, then they're like, how did you get over there? So I feel like it's definitely an exception here. It's her own power. So she's just not completely frozen. She's fully conscious. That's my take on it.
Yeah. I was thinking because her power is definitely inverted. So it makes sense that she would freeze in a sense. My thing was too, because good witches don't freeze.
Oh my God.
There's still a part of her that's left unfrozen. So that's kind of like how it works for me. Cause I figured since it is inverted, cause normally in any normal circumstances, I don't think she would freeze, but because of the way that the spell was cast, it kind of has like a hybrid.
Think about that. This is why you're the professional. You're the knowledge.
Making you think. Then the sisters fill each other in on their wonky powers. Yeah. Chapter 13 is strange because it's like, it's pretty much just them telling each other what we all know already.
Yeah. Which also, I feel like the time in this is really weird. Like, I feel like this is over the course of like a week or something. And it's like, do you guys don't not talk to each other this often? Like in the show, you're constantly with each other. How do you not know what each other is doing at this point or what's happening to you guys?
Right. Cause I think, too, what they said, like, what, Prue didn't even know that Phoebe was, like, seeing anybody, like, going on this date with anybody. She's like, who's this Kenji guy? Like, wow, you haven't talked in a long time. Yeah. But then they tell each other that they're like, oh, you found a red ribbon? I found a red ribbon, too. Oh, I have a red ribbon, too. And then something weird happened with my powers afterwards. Huh. So, and then they suspect Daria of being responsible because all they've been hearing is her wanting to kill people in their sleep and calling the darkness and all this crazy stuff. They go to check the book and they find the Coven of the New Sun. And it says, the content is mostly unknown. Okay. But Prue read that the New Sun referred to a source of power they called upon. They tried to destroy the Warren line back in 1888, but failed. The red ribbons they sent out were magical talismans of some kind, and they were used to activate spells that the Coven has put in place. So we all know that the spell was to kind of like reverse their powers, which I do think is a really cool concept, because that's something we've never seen in the show before, and it's neat to kind of explore.
I like the name, too. I feel like the name is something that is cool, and I feel like it's very show. Like, I could see that name of a Coven being presented, you know, on the show.
Totally. And it's kind of it gives the illusion that it's like a good magic coven. Mm-hmm. There's a new sun. But you know, it's all about their crystal that burns up people. So great. Then the sisters start a protection spell in the living room, but before they could finish it, like right they started it and right at the beginning, they're interrupted by Kenji peeking in the window. Another person peeking in the window. How many times are they getting spied on in this book?
Right? At least
it's like this writer just really likes creepers.
Yeah, at least we know they have windows at the house. So like this isn't out of, you know, left field.
And they do the spell in the living room. They're like, oh, I knew we should have done this in the attic. So at this point, Phoebe goes to, you know, she runs after Kenji. She's like, I wonder what this was all about. And then Celeste calls claiming that Daria slashed her sheets. That's a hard thing to say. But it's so funny because we're not seeing anything from Daria at this time. All we are hearing is word of mouth. Celeste says this. Celeste says Daria
does Celeste does a lot of talking. That's what it sounds like.
It's like, So then Piper, after hearing this, she's like, oh my gosh, she's dabbing your sheets now. She probably thought you were in them. Oh my goodness. You have to come to the manor. I'm not taking no for an answer. You're coming with us. You're staying with me. It's fine. Prue is like, really not about it at first, but then she's convinced. She's like, I guess we do have to protect her. So yeah, fine. It's fine. Pick her up. And then Kenji ran away. Phoebe goes after to try to talk to him, but she couldn't find him. He's really fit. So he's probably a really fast runner.
Yeah. You know, he's probably got some nice legs to match those arms that she talks about.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I would love to see him in the show. Who would they pick?
I don't know. I would love to see who they would cast.
Ooh, maybe what's that guy from Kim's Convenience?
Oh yes, is it Simu Lee?
I think so.
Oh yes, definitely. I love him.
Prue and Phoebe go to Adrian's magic shop because they figure we might as well get all the help we can get. Piper goes to pick up Celeste. They're out going to this magic shop. And then they discover that Adrienne is being held captive by two of the coven members, like in the back of the magic shop. Like, what? Okay. And they go, she must die for her betrayal. Ha ha ha. And at this point, you know, they can't use their powers because they're inverted. So they know they can't do it. So then Prue starts like grabbing stuff off the crystal balls. She's like, throwing crystal balls at the warlocks. Take this! And this, and
which I could see her doing. I feel like that's totally accurate.
Prue gets a lot of hate for being kind of like a stick in the mud, but she does have a lot of moments where she's just really having fun.
Oh yeah,
and I can dig that. And I think they stole some athames too from the shop just to figure, because you know, anything they could get. Prue recites a spell to free Adrienne after she tried to cut the light beam that she's trapped with the athame, and she's like, "This isn't working." So she makes a spell now. None of the spells came from the book this time, in this book. None of them came from the Book of Shadows at all.
It's all just made up stuff.
But then she realizes her powers were inverted. So for their spells to work, they have to ask for the opposite of what they're going for in the spell. So they have to kind of like say an opposite spell, which I think is kind of cool. But it also makes your job that much harder.
Yeah. It's one thing to come up with the spells, but to think of how to do it opposite is a whole other story.
But after they free her, they have like another little battle sequence. Prue ends up like instinctively trying to use her powers then, and she brings the demon right on top of them. Or the warlock just right on top of them, so they're captured. It's like, oh man.
It's very slapsticky.
Yeah. So then Piper comes home with Celeste. She's like, oh, you know, I'll get you acquainted. Here, I'll help you pack. So as while they're packing her stuff at the Sunrise Center, she finds a drawer of these red ribbons. So she's like, and then Celeste is like, they must be Daria's.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, and Daria is gone once again. You have no idea where she is, what she's doing, but she's never around anymore. And then Piper and Celeste arrive at the manor, and she shows her to the guest room. They get her all settled. And then Piper makes her way downstairs for some calls while Celeste is, whatever, getting unpacked and stuff. And then Piper, while she's downstairs, she hears a noise in the attic. She's like, oh my gosh, I hope Adrienne isn't going to the attic. Like that Daria was going to go in the attic. Maybe it's a demon. I don't know. And she grabs like the fire poker from the fireplace. And she heads up the stairs. It's very like horror movie. Oh, yeah. You know? I always think of Gremlins where like the mom is traveling up the stairs with the knife. Yes. Do you hear what I hear? But she's going up the stairs with her fire poker. And she goes into the attic and she finds three warlocks around the book. I'm like, they just keep like multiplying now. And she's like all trying to hit him she's like swiping the fire poker at him, trying to whack him and hit him.
She's not going down without a fight.
And she's like, no. She's like, ah. But apparently she too tries to use her powers. They got so used to using their powers, they can't cope without trying to use them. And she freezes herself and gets captured. Like, oh man. So now the sisters are all together, captured, tied up in the lair of the Coven of the New Sun, and they're like, oh at least you're all here with me, great, okay. And they see an unconscious Adrienne, the shopkeeper. She's brought in, and then they melt her like they did with the first lady.
Just as she's like pleading not to, she's just she's gone. There she goes. She melts. You can see her. What do they say? Muscle, like muscles and bones. Like, yeah. Awful.
Like this. This would never make it onto primetime TV like this. No. This has to be on like
HBO. There's a reason everything just blows up and like and right. CGI sparks. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, here we get like real horror movie like scenarios. So great. but I remember when they show that Adrienne was like actually part of it, Prue was just like, "Ooh, she tricked me. I hate her." But then this year she dies. You're like, "Oh, I'm sorry for her." Yeah, because she was a traitor, so they killed her. But then the coven believes they have to kill the charmed ones now because of their commitment to good. There's no real reason. It's just like, oh, you're good, so we have to kill you.
Just because, you know.
Yeah, they have no real beef with them. It's just kind of one of those things, like, they're going to come for us eventually, so I guess we'll just, you know, get rid of them now.
You know, they're powerful. They'll take their power, but, you know, other than that.
Mm-hmm. So then they're about to, you know, get them all killed. But, you know, it's not a good villain story until the villain reveals their master plan and who they are. So before we kill you, let's tell you everything.
Get the villain monologue out.
Right. And the master pulls down the hood of the warlock beside him, and it's revealed to be Celeste! Gasp! This little 13-year-old girl just is like into this crazy evil coven that melts people. So... And she's like, yeah, I used Daria as the scapegoat all along. She was too easy. it's like, okay, great. She was just perfect. And then the master comes and he takes his hood off and it's revealed to be Mr. Morgan, the coordinator. Gasp again. It's like, now you get it. Sunrise Center, Coven of New Sun, connected. Right. Boom. So it's crazy because it's like, that's a scary thought, I think. To, you know, be in charge of all these people that are troubled teenagers who might not have a good background or a good home life, and who have already all these issues already, and now you are in charge of recovering them, and you're just like doing bad things and using.
I guess
them.
In a way it makes sense. Like, it's just like cults, like how they take in people that are like in a, you know, bad way, or maybe they're, you know, their mindset's not, you know, where it should be, and then they like take advantage of that. So really, that if you're gonna be a warlock looking for some people to help, I guess being in charge of you know,
yeah,
wards would be a great idea.
Prime real estate right there. And you're right, it is totally a cult. Sean will love this from Hanging with the Hallowells, because he has another podcast called Once Upon a Cult. And so this is right up his alley. I think he's going to really enjoy this. Okay, cool. So then the master picks Phoebe to be sacrificed first. No idea. He's like, it's you. You won't be.
Oh, yeah, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And she's just.
That's
she's
right.
She's just unlucky.
Mm-hmm. Unlucky Phoebe. In more ways than one, since you missed out on your last time to have sex. So that's
just. There you go. You just wanted to. This one had to be different.
And apparently they absorb the, because he tells us about how this works. So when they kill somebody, they absorb their energy and feed it back to the collective coven. Like, you all get a little piece of their power, their energy. I'm like, interesting.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he is, at least he's, you know, ethical master. He'll share the power. Like, most people, masters would be like, you need to help me get me the power. But he's just like, we all get a little piece. So I guess he's fair that way. That's
he's
real
an
nice
evil hippie.
Yeah, totally evil hippie. It was like, peace and love, man. But first, death. Too funny. But apparently, before Phoebe was killed, Celeste makes them stop. She has a total change of heart. She's like, you know what? I don't like this anymore.
It was a really quick heel turn.
It was. It's like, okay, first she's like, yeah, Daria was easy. Oh, wait, I love you guys. I'm sorry. I'm like, where does that come from? I didn't really get any explanation for that. I mean, they say that it was because, you know, Piper showed her love and she felt the kindness from her. But it's like, you should have made your heart, change of heart a while ago. Unless she maybe was afraid of being, what's the word? Found as a traitor and killed her for like the other
I don't
girl.
Know maybe she was like, she was feeling the love between, you know, Piper, but she wasn't sure if it was mutual. So maybe this was the moment, because I think Piper says something about, you know, they'll never care for you like we do or whatever, and then all of a sudden Celeste is like, okay, I'll stand up and fight back.
That's true. It is kind of like those, that typical like pivotal moment in like, that's very dramatic where they're like, they're unsure. And then you hear like, we're rooting for you. We love you. No, please be good. And then it's like, oh my gosh, you're right. And I will do my best. Yeah. It's totally one of those moments. okay. So then, Celeste makes them stop and she fights, helps them fight back. Phoebe uses some of her karate moves to fight off some of the warlocks. It's this really big battle sequence now. It's like free for all. I don't know how many of these warlock members are in there, but they're all like battling.
Yeah, quite a few, I think.
And Celeste restores, she restores their powers, so they're back to normal again. And so now they're fighting enough. You know, Prue's flinging people left and right. I always think of like, all hell breaks loose. She's like, move! And she's getting all these people. She's like, get out of my way! It's kind of reminded me of one of those moments where she's just flinging warlocks everywhere. Piper's freezing some and stuff, and then we see Mr. Morgan, the Coven Master, turns into this giant skeletal monster. And this is where it kind of felt a little Power Rangers for me. Make my monster grow!
Very that. Because it was, this is another thing that I'm like, and there's a lot of like transmogrification and stuff in the show, but this is another thing where I was like, this is almost a little too, especially for like a season two era, early season two, mid season two. I was like, this is a little bizarre for something you'd see on the show, even.
Right. Because normally, I mean, if there's anything that's like a monster, they're always a monster. They don't, if they change, it's very, still very human size.
Yeah.
For them to, for this to like grow into like this giant Skeletor, like. Yeah, I always think of like Shadow Master or something from, what was that, Mighty Max?
Yes.
Oh, weird. That just came to me. Flashback. Crazy. Okay. And then, but he didn't do anything. He evolved. He's like, ha 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 ha, I got you now. But Piper could just freeze him. You would think something that powerful would be able to break out of a freeze, like most of them. But so she freezes him. They recite a spell. This wasn't from the book either. They made this up too. And then Celeste drops a crystal, like the burning up melty crystal. She throws it into some kind of urn to change its power from evil to good. It's this whole process. I don't know.
Just casually tossing a crystal into an urn to.
Yes. It's like, now your energies will be reversed. Maybe it's the same kind of energy they use for the ribbons. Huh. So maybe, I guess it makes kind of sense. And it shows from evil to good. But then the master grabbed the crystal and it explodes in a million pieces. And like the whole clan is like burned up and ashes. So then, we're in the final chapter. Whoa. Okay. And then so the Coven is just destroyed in the blast. Celeste was spared because she was by the Charmed Ones, I guess. And she's like, she wants to renounce magic for good, which I think is very noble of her. She's like, I'm tired of this. I don't want any more. I've had enough, hard enough life. It's like, this magic is just, you know, goodbye.
I feel like that also conveniently lets this book wrap up without ever having to include Celeste in the show by like, you know.
Yeah.
There's another person that's into magic that,
yeah,
we said we cared about so much that she changed from evil to good.
I know, right? Mm. But I was thinking about these books too. I never mentioned this before, but these novels are technically not canon at all. Like, not in the canon. The only thing that's canon are the comic books, and I believe the e-books that came out afterwards that were not actually published, but they had e-books of. Those are technically canon. They take place after the comics, but I think that's all that really. So these are more like just side stories. And that's part of this podcast is to discuss if we think they could be canon, like if they would be able to fit in there. So we'll get to that after the end. Cool. This is the total WTF moment for me.
Yes.
Kenji appeared now in a black robe and Celeste says, he's evil! And she's like, get him! And Prue like just shoves him into the wall. She's like, get out of here, it's evil warlock, whatever. And then, they see that it's Kenji and Phoebe is like devastated. She's like, oh, my love! Why? And This is where it gets so weird. Kenji admits that he was an undercover reporter trying to expose the coven.
What?
Like, what? That came out of nowhere.
It really did. It was the weirdest, like, outcome of the entire book. This is the weirdest thing in it. Because it really is out of nowhere. And what? He's a reporter for, does he say where?
I forget. It's some kind of journalist or something. They're trying to
No, he said, yeah, he said it was for a story, but it's like, what? That means that whatever he works for, unless it's like the National Enquirer, believes that witchcraft and all this stuff exists.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this publication?
Yeah. So it's like a newspaper about exposing magic or something, or like the witch hunters or whatever. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. So yeah, he's like, I knew they were evil. I was just trying to stop them. Like, oh my God. And then Kenji's like, I really liked you, Phoebe. I asked to be transferred here so I can move here for you.
Which, bold. Very bold.
Yeah. Like, wow. That's like, he's ready to like put his whole life on hold for Phoebe. Because yeah, it was just, their romance is so goofy yeah. to me, but I can see it. But then they're like, so then they cast a spell so that he forgets they were witches. Like, well, you're a good guy, but you really shouldn't know about this stuff at all. So we'll cast a spell to make you forget this ever happened. And Phoebe's like, oh, good. So he can still get some kind of story where like they get exposed, but they won't know anything about us being involved. And I get to still get my guy. Yeah, my man's going to love me still. Awesome. So the next day, Phoebe goes to surprise Kenji with a romantic evening, and she goes to his door, and she brings, like, what does she bring? Like, some kind of gift. Do you remember what it was?
Did she bring, like, food, flowers, and a bottle of wine, I believe.
Okay, so all of the cliche Valentine's Day romantic stuff. Yeah. Okay. She discovers that he has no memory of Phoebe whatsoever. He's like, who are you? La di da di da. Oh, like, it's still weird that's for a lady to come here with all this stuff. And she kisses him too. She like shows up and kisses him. It's like, wow, that's strange for a stranger to do. Okay. It's like, I didn't mind, but that was weird.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you don't remember. Well, have a nice life. She just calls it quits there.
Kind of a depressing end. Like,
yeah, she goes in the car and she just cries heartbroken. She's like just bawling in her car at the end of the
book. Yeah, it ends, like the second to last paragraph, it's like talking about how she looks in the rearview mirror and her eyes are red, and she learns that sometimes love hurts even when you're a witch. And it's like, that's really sad, but also not really the whole point of the book, but
sure, like that's moral of the story right there. Love is hard for a witch, you know. Like, I don't understand. Like, so he forgot. You could have had every opportunity to start fresh. Like, make it your first date or whatever, or say like make up some kind of, I don't know. But if you really liked him, she could have made it work again.
But I don't think we ever found out what happened to Daria.
We don't. That was one of my biggest comments at the end. That was my final thought. Like, what happened to Daria? Where is she? Is she hurt? They probably killed her.
They probably did.
You know?
That's the only thing I can think, because she's never around. We only hear from Celeste the entire time at the back half of the book.
I bet you they probably killed her like the minute after they she ran out the house. She calls Daria to go back there. You know, she's probably like, oh, Daria, are you there? Oh, she's probably being held captive by the master, and he's like, yeah, you will burn for your, you're useful to me is no longer, whatever. So that's terrible. That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Any other final thoughts?
No, I feel like, I enjoyed it. I know I've read this one, but it's of course been a long time. I definitely have some down that like, I've got 10 of these books or so in my basement, and I've read most of them, but there's definitely a couple that I have never even touched, but it definitely wants me to make or to read more of them and to, you know, continue my rewatching since it's been so long. And
yeah, cool. I enjoyed the story for the most part. I did think, I like that it was constantly progressing. Like, I always felt like we were getting further and further along, mm-hmm. and I never felt like it was stale.
No, there wasn't a lot of downtime.
Yeah. I mean, it was action moving the whole way through. Like, the last book, I kind of felt like I was going around in circles, and this one, I felt like something was happening, and we were getting somewhere the whole way through, so I did like that. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this before, but I did like the idea of the inverted powers. I thought that was a really cool plot device, and I think that would have been really cool to see on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just think they could have gone into something really deep with the whole foster kids, and they could have gotten something very serious with mm-hmm. that. It might have been interesting. I did mention that the scary thing about having this cult leader pretty much in charge of them. So that was good. We touched on that. And I had What the Hell Happened to Daria. Cool. But I did hate, I hated the ending.
I wanted more. Like, I really thought, like, as I was getting into chapter 17, I was like, I know there's only one chapter after this. So they must wrap it up in 17. And then 18 is like, what happens after? But it's just like, mm-hmm. chapter 18 is half of, or 3/4 of the end of that, you know, fight. And then Kenji wrap up, and then it's done. I wanted something more. I needed a post-credit sequence.
I put in my notes, I said the Kenji twist seemed too convenient and unbelievable. And the romance with Phoebe was pretty barf-tastic.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Because he was a character that I really, really liked in the beginning and I wanted to see more of, and then I was super disappointed in the end. Like, it just didn't have a payoff.
Yeah, it was definitely like a convenience wrap-up where it was like, mm-hmm. okay, well, now the spell worked too good and now he's just forgotten it all. But also, then that begs the question, what does he think he's doing there? Because he forgot about the coven, but he's not from San Francisco. He's there on assignment.
Right, he's like, I gotta go back home tomorrow or whatever.
What does he think he's doing in San Francisco then?
Yeah. So weird. Yeah, that's a thread that we have not even touched upon and that they will never get to because the book is over.
It's done.
Now we have put that in my canonical hat. Would you consider this canon or would you want to see this canon?
There are parts of it I would. I feel like it's standalone enough and with some decent characterization that I could see it being canon. Is it necessary? No. I want to see Kenji and just see who they cast. But yeah, other than that, I don't think it's a necessary installment, but I wouldn't mind seeing. I think it would be an interesting episode.
Yeah, I didn't have too many hangups that would prevent this from being in there. It is a pretty good standalone, like you said, because the only thing that was a little off was the fact that Phoebe had a car and that she was taking a beginner karate class when she should have been, you know, pretty much established already from the self-defense. But otherwise, it could have fit pretty much anywhere. And I wouldn't have mind seeing this episode as an episode. It was just if they refined it or tweaked it a little bit more, it would have been a really nice episode, I think. So,
agreed. Yeah,
cool. All right. Now we're into rhyme time. Yeah. We got to read some spells.
Can we try a spell?
Why not? Let's try a spell.
In the wind, I send this rhyme. Bring death before me, before my time.
You've really got to lay off the rhyming group.
Wonderful. Witty, but wordy.
I did the rhyme. I will do the time. Good night.
All right. Do you want to read the first one or do you want me to?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay, cool.
So the first one is to free a loved one from Warlock's grasp. It's loosen not stark magic and bind, free the one whose heart is tied to mine.
Yeah, all right. Pretty simple, but I think it's effective. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that sounds like something that you would come up with really quickly on the fly.
So that's good. And then we have to redirect binding magic. This is the one that Piper used to trap the warlock in his own kind of light trap. Green as grass, green as the ocean's curl, light become web and bind he who'd harm the girl. That's a tongue twister. green is the light, green shall it bend, bind this warlock and hold till time's end. So I don't really like that one.
I don't. I'm not a fan of it either. But it's really intense for one to just think of.
It's very poetic in a way.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of these are just like, oh, green as the ocean's curl. Like, who thinks of that? Light become web and bind he who'd harm. Oh yeah, no. So okay. She should have just put the last two lights. Green as the light, green shall it bend. Bind this world I can hold till time's end. That would have been just
yeah,
fine.
That's perfect. It's fine. Short, yeah. To the point.
Yeah. Okay, next one.
So this is to free someone from magical binds, the reversed version. Ropes that bind, bind tighter still. Confound me not, obey my will.
Yeah, to the point. That's the reversed version. So like this was to the one that Prue used to free Adrienne from the bind. Mm-hmm. So she made it unbind by telling it to bind, which is kind of cool. And then we have the other one to unbind. Magic strands with power true. Never fail to bind these two. What was that one for?
I don't remember. I like that one, though.
I do like that one.
I just feel like... I just like the never fail to bind these two. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah. Maybe there was two warlocks in the room and...
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
So the next one is to restore inverted powers. Magic that binds will now unbind, restore their powers in full and unkind. And that was Celeste undoing the ribbons.
Yeah, bringing their powers back to normal. Yeah.
That one's all right.
It's all right. That in full and in kind, I don't think that flows very well. Restore their powers in full and in kind. I feel like you had to make that shorter for it to have the real flow.
Yeah.
Too many words in that last line, but... the last one is to bind the magic coven master with magic. Bind him hard, bind him fast. Throughout time shall the spell last. Which, it is effective. It sounds a little sexual to me.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. It sounds a little naughty.
Bind him hard, bind him fast. throughout time shall the spell last. But it is, I think it does sound good. It has a good... good rhyme scheme. I mean, all the spells in here are like two lines. They're all very simple. Mm-hmm. Some are more effective than others, but I don't think they're awful.
No.
So, cool. All right. So now, instead of a game, we're just going to discuss our... it's a segment I call 10 Things.
10, 10, 10 to 10, 10, 10. Here's 10 things.
This time it's going to be WTF moments. Are you excited?
I am excited.
So my first one was... Phoebe misspelling her name on the divorce papers from Cole in A Witch's Tale Part 2. She puts like Phoebe. She writes Phoebe.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you can't spell your own name. I'm like, is that going to be legally binding if your name isn't spelled right? I don't know. Although it is true that Alyssa Milano has a case of dyslexia. She has a little bit of dyslexia. So I do give her a pass.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very common thing with like actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm. And I remember there was an article written about her where like she talks about how she overcame it and the tricks she used to memorize scripts and read scripts. So that is very fascinating. So she does get a pass from me, but it is still funny in terms of the story and narrative.
So mine, let's go with in Wrestling with Demons, the fact that first of all, that wrestling is a part of it, but the fact that they have wrestlers, like actual, I mean, of course, not in the show, but like not in the context of the show, but real life. Like,
Booker T, and who was the other guy?
There was Booker T, Buff Bagwell, I think was one of them. And I mean, it's just the most bizarre thing. And with Ron Perlman even being in it, it's
right
bizarre.
Our Hellboy man. Yeah. It's great. And it's so funny because it's definitely a episode of the times. I never really watched wrestling, but it was huge in that time. Everybody was watching it. And so yeah, and I love, you know, Prue's lines like, and people think this is entertainment.
Yes.
All right, I have from All Halliwell's Eve, the sexual tension between Leo and Daryl. Have you noticed that? He's like, it's like, Happy Halloween. And then Daryl's like, who are you? You know, after he heals him and he's like, they're like staring at each other down and happy Halloween. I'm just like, it's great. There's actually a blooper too. If you there's some, on YouTube, you can find some of the bloopers and stuff. And
yeah,
there's like Phoebe's like, "You guys going to kiss?" and Dorian just cracks up because he has that really big like belty laugh. Yeah. And so it's great. It's great. So I have to send it to you.
Yeah, that. Yeah. I'm gonna have to see that. So my next one is The Devil's Music. The fact that Dishwalla is a front for a demon is the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Maslin, yeah. And yeah, and this is supposed to take place sometime between that. So right after that one, Devil's Music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun, it's an interesting episode.
Yeah, I like the episode. It's just, it's a very bizarre concept that
it begs the question that, because you know, their what was it? Their manager was in on it, but mm-hmm. we don't know if the band ever knew anything about it. Probably.
That's
not.
What I wondered, like that whole time, like watching the episode. Does the band have any idea while they're out on stage what's actually happening?
Yeah, you know, and they've been doing this on tour, so all these girls have probably been disappearing, and they don't put two and two together, like, huh, we were over there, and these girls disappeared. Oh, we're over here, and these girls disappeared. Interesting. Okay. my third one is Prue being scared of the peacock in There Everywhere, season 2, episode 7.
Oh my god.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
She's, you know, they're searching for the collectors or whatever, the demons, with their pointy fingers, and he goes, she's like, ah! And I think that was just something that happened, you know, while they were filming, and they kept it in because they thought it was funny.
Yes. I was actually just watching that episode, and my husband was like, do they have peacocks just like wandering around San Francisco? I was like, I honestly don't know, but I feel like it's not something so strange that I wouldn't believe.
Right. But it is one of the greatest WTF moments that I'm just like, it's lovely.
Yes. My third one would be less of a moment and more of just an entire episode.
Okay.
Lucky Charmed. Where there's leprechauns and Pat Benatar, and the leprechaun helped them with their luck, and like it's the weirdest, most like stereotypical, which timely right now because it's almost, you know, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
I guess when this comes out, it'll be after St. Patrick's Day.
It'll be after. But, yeah, we're filming this before, but yeah, we have just experienced St. Patrick's Day, so it's perfectly timed. Yeah, yes.
It's just
Slanta East Tanta. Yeah,
yeah, it's the weirdest. Episode and just super surreal and just almost like borderline offensive, and it's just like way out there.
Yeah, it is goofy. Although I do like Pat Benatar.
Oh, I love Pat. Yeah, not just like singing, but actually like acting on the show. It's just mm-hmm. super cool.
Yeah, she was not just your typical P3 guest. She had scenes before that. So yep. Yeah, that's great. I did mention in my Hanging with the Hallowells show that I do have a piece of the leprechaun gold from that episode that was used on set.
I'm super jealous. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know if you've seen all my collection, but I do post a lot of it on my Instagram. So if anybody wants to see my collection, you can go to KGZ87. Yeah, I've posted a bunch of my stuff there. So next one, I have Victor bringing porn to Cole's bachelor party.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
It was in season 4, episode 15, merry-go-round. It's right before, like, the day before they're supposed to get married. And Cole's in there. He's doing, like, he's the source. So he's doing, like, evil demon things. And then the doorbell rings. And it's Victor and Leo and Daryl. And he's like, yeah, you need a bachelor party. Ha, 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 ha. He's like, and Victor's like, I brought some videos from my personal collection. Like, is that what straight guys do? They just watch porn together and get aroused? Like, that doesn't seem normal.
You know, it's something very common in what I've witnessed in media. I don't know if it really is. I've never been that close to my straight friends. Right. So
it's just like, I don't know, like, do you just sit there calmly and watch, or are you like stroking together? It's like a strange it's a strange thing.
It is a very weird thing. If you ever find anything out, just let me know. I'm interested.
If there are any straight listeners that can eliminate, you know, I'm bisexual, but I don't think I'd do that with anybody that I wasn't like. So, yeah. We'd like to hear your thoughts. All right. What's your next one?
My next one is Prue turning into a dude in season two and the like weird like vocal adjustment they did and the facial hair. It's just a really weird, goofy thing. It's just,
yeah.
I think it would be one thing if they just had her look like a dude, but the voice, it really just top notch. It's so funny.
Yeah, season 2, episode 5, she's a man, baby, a man. Yeah. That voice was a little strange. I mean, it's nice that I could tell that it was her voice still. Like, it's almost like she's turning into a demon. It was like not quite right.
Yeah.
that Uncanny Valley thing going on. All right, my last one is Paige not remembering that she vanquished the Source in season 8, episode 4, Desperate House Witches.
That's kind of a big deal. I don't. I'm going to have to rewatch that one.
They say something like, what did you guys do last time you vanquished him? And I'm like, you were there. You almost died. You were part of it. How do you not remember this? Yeah,
kind of a big deal. How do you just let that slip your mind?
Yeah. So that was a writing error that nobody caught. There we go. 10 WTF moments for you to ponder. Lovely. I'm sure there's so many more we could come up with if we had to, but yeah, that was fun.
Yes.
Okay, now we're into the final segment, Tips for Future White Letters.
I was out being a force of good in the universe.
Is there any moral or lesson or advice that we could get learned from this book?
I mean, we could go a Phoebe route about love. We could just, I feel like just don't trust people. That's what we learned today.
Words to live by. Don't trust anybody. Just fend for yourself.
Always be a skeptic. Just don't. When people try to egg you on about how they have power so that they can tell you to use yours, just don't listen. Don't trust it.
I would say, I'm going to go a little bit more serious. I'm going to say try to be aware of people's trauma if you can.
Yeah.
And be willing to help them find a way to feel love and joy and success. Be a warm sunshine. And not a melty sunshine.
Yes, no. We don't want that.
Where can people find you if you want people to find you?
I am on, I don't really post on Instagram much, but if people want to track me down and I start getting followers, maybe I will. My Instagram handle is at kbreeze. That's KB. R-E-A-Z-E. And then if anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, I post goofy things sometimes. I'll talk Drag Race or Real Housewives or whatever. And that's the same thing, but with 88 afterwards. So it's KBreeze88.
All right. Lovely. You can find me at KGZ87 and look at my charm collection and stuff. Modeling and all that stuff that I do. And then you can follow this podcast at Words of the Witches on Instagram. We're also on Facebook, Words of the Witches, a Charmed podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, I haven't heard from anybody yet. So if you want to make your voice heard, I'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions. Email us at wordsofwitchespod@gmail.com. So, yeah, that's awesome. Oh, and find me at Hanging with the Hallowells as well, my other second Charmed podcast. We're watching seasons 6 through 8, and I'm the Charmed expert there. And my friend Sean is watching them for the first time, and we are sharing our reactions and stuff. So it's pretty cool. Have a witchy day.